Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
After praying for you this morning, the Lord was like, just let them know that I need them to be full of hope. That this message is going to pour hope into your hearts. Some of you have been discouraged. You've been feeling defeated. It may be like, God, where are you? I've been praying for this. I haven't seen you move in this area. I haven't gotten what I need from you, God. And I felt like the Lord was just like, will you just encourage them, number one, to tell them, I want to partner with them. He wants to partner with you. That God didn't come down and give of himself and put himself on that cross so that you can live a defeated life here on earth. No, he did all that so you can live a free life in a defeated earth. You see, Satan is the ruler of this world. He's the father of all lies. He brings deception, chaos, confusion. He's the one that brings the abandonment and the rejection. He's the one that brings you to the places of depression and anxiety. I was watching this show, and it's about a girl who has Tourette's. It's hard for me to watch because she cusses a lot, and I was just like, dude, seriously? But then I was like, don't judge, because maybe that's I don't know how this works. Because they had told my son that he could have had Tourette's. And I watch it with him because he started out the same way she did. But there's a difference between us and her. When I saw my son doing the same things that she had going in her life, I was like, no. That's not of God. In the name of Jesus, we're speaking to this thing and we're telling it to go. Took him 3 years. But every time a tick came, every time his OCD jumped in, every time those things that he felt had to be a certain way and only brought him a peace if he did it a certain way in a certain pattern, we had to break it. When I was young, I full on had OCD. Like, I would count the colors on any stop sign, in any park, in any room, and I could tell you every color in the room right now, even. And I still, to this day, I'm like, nope, I'm not even playing. We're not going there. I have to switch my thinking so that it doesn't control me, that I control it by the power of Christ in me. And you see, there's a difference. And I watched on TV the other day this poor girl, and she's explaining that all of this comes from having OCD and anxiety and depression, and all of this comes with it. And I just heard the Spirit of God say, no, it doesn't have to be that way. But many people live this way because they don't think that I'm big enough to overcome these things. But Satan's job is to come and bring these things. Satan's job is to come and discourage you, to defeat you. But girls, I'm here to remind you, Christian women, that he is a defeated foe. And that we don't have to put up with the things that have had us bound or consumed, where we even believe them to be good because it's a familiar spirit. And it's something that makes us comfortable, and it's the only way we can function. But I'm here to say to you today, what if God gives us the gifts of the Spirit to teach us to function in different ways that are outside of our own ability, but we have to press into the ability of Jesus Christ, and we lay aside those things which have ruled us, and we begin to step into some supernatural things and break off some things. When I was this young girl, as an OCD kid, I'll never forget, if I touched anything, I had to wash my hands. And so I would wash them so much that I would bleed. And my mom, you know, crazy Pastor Deborah, she was like, what? That is demonic. And I was like, I'm just washing my hands. And she's like, no, you're not just washing your hands. You're not washing your hands ever again. You're gonna go all day without washing your hands. And I said, well, can I at least wash my hands after I pee? She said, fine, you can do that, but that's it. And I was like, God, I thought she was so rude, you know? I was like, God, my mom's so rude. And what she was doing was she was reversing and making me have to bow that thing won't control me, but I will control it. And no joke, within a month, I didn't have that tick anymore. I didn't have to wash my hands every time. Don't worry, I do wash my hands. I'm still very much a clean person. But it doesn't control me. I can actually, I had to force myself as a mom to leave dishes in the sink at night. You go, what? That is so ungodly. No, it's not. It was ungodly how obsessed I was cleaning them before I went to bed because I was so tired. Then I'd wake up crabby and start yelling at everybody. And so the Lord was like, that is not of me. I want you to leave it. And guess what? I wake up in the morning, I read my Bible, I pray, and then I do the dishes. I do the dishes in the morning from the night before. You go, what? Because it won't control me because I have to put God in the center of the things that want to rule me. I'm using just these stupid little examples. These are just stupid little things. You may have your own things. You may have your own thought processes. You may have your own patterns. There may be things that your families have passed down from generation to generation. Well, this is just how we do it. Oh, my favorite is our cultures. Dude, guys, I'm Italian. Like, I want to rip your head off when you're stupid. And I want to tell you and slap my hand and be like, what are you doing? But I have to shuttest thou uppest. And I have to learn to put my tongue under what the Word of God tells me to do. And I have to learn to turn my brain off from judgment. And I have to step into the Spirit instead of judging man and being like, well, we're just loud. Get over it. Just get over it. No, I need to control myself. I need to have power under control. I need to step into who Christ has made me to be. That means that nothing controls who I am except for Christ. And you see, I'm using just me as an example, and it's so stupid. I wasn't even going to talk about any of this stuff. But I think it's a good example about how we allow the things and the ways of our life and the ways of our culture and the things that we've been comfortable with to control us instead of understanding that when I read this, I have to rewire my brain. Did you know that every time you read your Bible, that it actually rewires your brain? That it creates new neuropaths in your brain and that you begin to unlock some things. So you may be going, well, I'm not really that smart, but if you actually read the Bible, your IQ goes up. Did you know that? Your IQ actually increases. So if you are in this room and you think you're not smart, I'm here to tell you, just read your Bible, you'll get smarter. It's beautiful. And so God knew all of these things because in the Word, He has given us so much. But Jesus loved us so much that when He died on that cross, He said to humanity, I must go because another one must come. In fact, He said a greater one. What? How could He be greater? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit came and He fills us and He has gifts for us here on this earth. That those things that we once read in the Bible, did you know that we, the church, the active church, should be operating in these things? Now, there are denominations that say that these gifts left with the last of the apostles, and they're not right, but let's be kind towards them, because they're still going to be our brother and sister in heaven, so we will not be a church that goes against another church. We will pray for them. But I don't want you, if you come to this house and I'm your pastor, I want you to understand that I want you to have access to every part of what God is giving you. I want you to live free and not bound. I don't want those strongholds and those dumb things that we talked about a little bit earlier to control your life so much. As I watched this girl on TV think this was her destiny, there was no way out of this. No doctor can help her. Nobody can help her. When we took my son with the Tourette's, they said, well, there's really nothing we can do for him. And I just, in my spirit, man, because I knew who my God was, I was like, oh, well, then we're going to reverse that. I'm going to reverse it with the power of God. And I don't care how long this takes me. Until I die, I will be reversing this. Because Satan does not have the final say in my son's life. I wish I had a picture of him now. He is strong. He's a beast. he's a go-getter. I mean, last night, Pastor Powell's message rocked him. He came home preaching everything to me because I listened to it online. And I'm like, yes, son, I heard it. He's like, but it was everything you and I have been talking about. And I'm like, I know. I just love how God does that through other people. And he was just on fire because God is going to do something mighty in his life. If God's going to do it for my kid, guess what? He'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. It's not just because I'm a pastor or I was a PK or none of that junk. No, we all have to walk this out. We all have to live this out. We all have to believe the word and apply the word. And all of us have access to all of what God is giving us. So these gifts are charisma. I don't know if I'm saying that word. Charismata, Pastor Sue? I know it's charismatic. We would call it charismatic. But I'm trying to be like, you know, smart. And really the definition of it is grace gifts. God gives us grace gifts. And we've talked about all three different parts of these gifts. And there's different parts to them. So if you have missed the other two, you have missed out. You need to go back online, download the app, and you can get it for free. You can listen to it. But today, we're going to learn about these grace gifts. They're gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, come to live in us, comes to work through us. That means that we partner with God in life and in doing what God is asking us to do. These gifts come out of 1 Corinthians 12. So let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to actually, I like it out of my Bible, so I'm going to do it there. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You say, did the Bible just call me stupid? Yep. You know that you were Gentiles. What is a Gentile? Us, or anybody who is not of Jewish descent. So you may actually have Jewish descent in you. You are not a Gentile. Okay? But Paul came to preach to the Gentiles. So know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. They were worshiping idols. They were in a time, remember where we talked about, let me just set this up for those of you that don't remember, they're in the city of Corinth. It's a hub. A lot of ships come through, which means a lot of idol worship. They had temple prostitutes. They thought that they would get closer to God by sleeping with a temple prostitute in the temple. Like, talk about screwed up. But I don't know. We're about as screwed up as that now. Okay, so who are we to judge? And then it says, therefore, so Paul's trying to get them to understand the difference between what God is saying and what they know about other gods and other gods' ways of doing things. Okay, therefore, that you may know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now what does accursed mean? It means devoted to destruction. That's crazy. So devoted to destruction, that means that they cannot. It says that the Spirit of God calls on Jesus accursed. That means that they cannot call on that. They cannot say that he's accursed. Jesus is blessed. Jesus is God. Jesus is holy. Jesus is the right name. And yet they cannot talk against him. Okay? And then verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. Isn't that good? Look around the room. We are all diverse. We all come from different walks of life, different ways of life. And I love that about our church. We look like heaven. Verse 5, but the same Spirit. We are all of the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries. Have you ever been to a different church? And you're like, they're not like The Rock. Don't be judgy. They're being who they need to be, and they're doing that pastor's doing what God told him to do in that church. And so let's just support and be unified and not divided. We've got to be a united front right now. So there's different ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I want to just use this word manifestation really quick because this is a really popular word right now. People are manifesting good things into their life. Do you love how Satan takes biblical meanings and biblical words and he uses it for the kingdom of darkness, which parades itself like light? Do you see? I'm just going to point this out so that you see the difference. And so manifestation is not something that you conjure up. When you are doing that outside of what God has asked you to do, you are operating in demonic practices, and you are open yourselves and the people around you to demonic activity. So that is not what we're talking about today. Does Satan have power? Yeah, he has some supernatural power, but his power is nowhere near the power of God. He has a counterfeit power. He has a weak power. He has a manipulating power. He has a lying, deceiving, wasting of time, chaos, and confusion will operate when these things are at work. So when God is talking about manifesting, he's not talking about what the world is talking about. He's talking about the supernatural power of the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, speaking and things exist. When he says it, it is done. When he walks it out, it is finished. That is God making those things that aren't are. He is the one that is the creator. He is the one that is the all in all. He is the one that feels all in all. He is the one that knows every frequency in the air. He knows every thought in your head. He knows every bug walking on the ground, every centipede, everything. God knows it all. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is apart from him. So when he says he wants to manifest these things, of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. Did God give us the grace gifts to profit me only? How about you and your family only? No, all. Who is all in this verse? The body of Christ. See, God wants to partner with us. He wants to deposit into our lives goodness. He wants to bring us into work with him on this dark world that we live in. We live in very much so darkness. We live in very much so demonic things. We live every day. If you just open your eyes, church, you will see it everywhere around the corner. And we have to, as the body of Christ, be alert and awake and aware of what God is doing, even in the midst of darkness, because the world has to see the good of God, because all they're seeing is the evil of Satan at work. And so we are the ambassadors. We are the ones that carry out. We are the ones that God fills us with these grace gifts for the benefit of everyone else around us. Right there, you just got to upgrade in your humanity, because now you are no longer your own, but you are bought with a price. You are engrafted into the kingdom of God. You are a soldier for Christ. You are one that is filled with the Holy Spirit and beginning to do some new things in your world. Now that we understand this, go with me to verse 8. For the one that has given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, we talked about this, word of wisdom, we already talked about this. To another, the word of knowledge, we talked about, through the Spirit, verse 9. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, plural, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. And to another, working of miracles. And to another, prophecy, which we talked about, and discerning of spirits, which we talked about, and another, gift of tongues, and the other, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. What does that mean? That means that sometimes you may have it all the time. I do not lose my gift of tongues. I can speak right now in tongues, and all I got to do is ask God what I just said, and he will interpret that for me. That does not go away. But there are times that God will dispose gifts on me that I was not just operating in every day. And so today, we get to talk about these gifts. And these gifts, they're special. There are 9 gifts. We've already explored 6 of them. And today are the last few, and they are... We've already talked about the discerning gifts. We've talked about the declarative gifts. Today, we're talking about the dynamic gifts. That means these dynamic gifts are gifts that you do, gifts you actually operate and you're active in. These are gifts that require you to get moving and get going with the Holy Spirit to see God do something miraculous. If you did not think God is still a healer today, I hope I change your mind. If you did not see that today that God still does miracles on this earth, I hope that by at the end of this message, you realize God is a miracle-working God still today. If your faith has been weakened and you've been discouraged, I'm here today that I hope that you find that your faith would be increased and that God's power would be released in your life. So let's talk about these gifts. They're going to be what you need in these end times. When Satan is lurking everywhere, the word says he is seeking whom he may devour. So when he is lurking and seeking your children, your marriages, your finances, your joy, your peace of mind, your rest, your future, your hopes, your dreams, he's trying to bind, steal, kill, and take away all of that from you. What is your move? Your move is using the gifts of the Spirit. You discern what he's doing. You begin to speak over these things. You pair up with the Spirit of God. You speak in tongues, the supernatural things over these areas that you don't know how to pray for. The Spirit speaks and prays through you. We've talked about all of these, but today, the declarative gifts. We begin to speak. We begin to do, and God meets us there. God meets us there. Dynamic gifts. Number one, the gift of faith. I love this one. I started with this one. A supernatural gift of belief and confidence for a specific situation. This probably could be confusing to us because we all know that we are saved through. Come on, guys. Let's help you out a little bit. Yes, by grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it, right? It was his grace that put him on the cross. He died, and by faith, I receive my salvation. That means I believe in those things I cannot see, but I know. You are now saved. You are now whole through faith, but this is not the faith I am talking about. This is a gift of faith. It is a special and a specific faith given for specific situations that happen and occur in your life. The gift of faith is in a time and a moment. It is an empowering of faith on a greater level than where you're already living. This dynamic power which realizes that the energy contained in the promises of God. That means God's promises are released through this gift of faith into your life. It is a dynamic power. It is an agency of action in your life. There are so many things that I want to get into, but I'm going to tell a story really quick. There's two missionary women, Dana Curry and Heather Mercer, who were missionaries in Afghanistan, and they had just been captured by the Taliban. A few days later, from when they were captured, the World Trade Centers were attacked, and we were at war. Do you guys remember that time? Their families thought, oh no, they're never going to be released. They're just going to be forgotten about. And they were worried, and they began to pray. They weren't sure if they would ever be rescued. God came through, and he delivered them. And when they were rescued by the American soldiers in November of 2011, they were explaining about this rescue, that they both had expressed difficult and hard times. Heather said fear and panic and worry would oftentimes come, but then her confidence and something came on her, and it would ignite her to begin to believe God for her rescue. The other friend, she claimed that she just had a confidence. There was just an unsettling peace within her that she just knew that she knew that God was going to do something. Dana said, there was such a calm confidence that surrounded me. It was the gift of faith. This was a beautiful example of faith that was given to her in this very tragic moment. Both of them said these were bad days, but it was their faith that brought them through. And to this day, they are still in Muslim nations preaching the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah, amen. There's so many wonderful examples of this. Go with me to Mark 4:35. Jesus. You say, well, Jesus was God. Yeah, but remember, Jesus stripped himself of deity and had to walk in all that we now walk in. He had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You remember the dove ascended upon him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit? It was after that that the signs, miracles, and wonders started. So Jesus was the example of how we need to live here on this earth. Not because he wasn't God, but because he stripped himself of his position of God and stepped into the power of God here on this earth. So here was Jesus, Mark 4. And it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and they started to leave the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves are breaking into this boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping on the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. I just love that part. I don't know why, but I think it's funny. The Bible thinks it's very important that he was laying his head on a pillow because he was very comfortable. The disciples woke him up. The storm didn't wake him up. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said, silence, be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples, absolutely terrified, who is this man? They asked, even the wind and the waves obey him. What if you were to wake up after an attack, and you were to say, in the name of Jesus, go. And all you got to do is just stand your ground and allow your faith to be released and the power of God to be released through you because you have such a faith and such a peace and such a calm that nothing can overtake you. That's who you are, girls. Jesus was an example of who we're supposed to be here on this earth. He was a man, a spirit-filled man stripped of his Godhead, on this earth, so that when he was operating on this earth, he was using the same gifts we're talking about now. We see how this works in our lives as well as the life of Jesus. Ephesians 1 explains this to us. Go with me to Ephesians 1. You guys okay? Can't believe me? We got to get into the word, right? Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. It says, which he worked in Christ, talking about Jesus, when he raised him from the dead, talking about Jesus, and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places. Let me give you a background of this verse. When Jesus died, those 3 days that he was passed away, he went down to the keys of sin, he went down to the hordes of hell, and he took the keys of sin and death from Satan. That means Satan no longer had control that he had gained in the garden. He now no longer had control over death. Death was the last victory. That's why Paul says, death, where is your sting? So he took the keys of sin and death, okay? And he went, and before he went, he hung out with the disciples. Do you remember that whole time? Yeah, the day of Pentecost, he gave them the power of God. You know, Thomas is like, let me see your hands, you know, the unbelief. And so he says, don't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Because he knew he was in between. And then what did he do? He went and he sat at the right hand of God. Jesus sat at the right hand of God. So this is what that little verse is representing, all of those moments. Okay? Are we good? Are we good? Verse 21. Far above all principality and power, might, and dominion. What are principalities, power, might, and dominion? It is the works of Satan and darkness. Okay? He's above it. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. Where are we right now? Which is to come. We're there. Okay? So he's talking about us. And then it says, and he put all things, not some things, girls. He put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Who's the church? We are. We are the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. When Jesus left, he says, let me see if I have this verse for you. I have it somewhere, that he says, that he left that a greater one may come. So I'll get the verse for you. I have it on here somewhere. John, yeah, it's in John. Okay, so when you understand these things, when you understand the power that you carry, when that gift of faith comes on you, you don't have to deny it any longer. I've talked to people that they've been in car accidents and they're believing God for a family member, and yet they just know that they know that God is going to do something. I'm going to tell you a funny story. My sister Kim, she's the funniest person in the world. If you know my sister, you are blessed because she's a nut. And she is like Mrs. Faith woman, and then also don't make her mad because she will cuss you out a little bit. And so she was her dog. She got this really ugly rat dog. Like, I'm not kidding. I don't know why she always ends up with the ugliest dogs. Every single one of them is ugly. And so she has this dog. And so this dog and her love each other. I mean, she just loves this dog. You know, there's no man in her life. It's just the dog. And so she's like, loves this dog. The dog gets very, very, very sick. In fact, so sick, we totally are like, this dog is going to die. And so we're in the background family. We're like gossiping behind her back, you know, like, dude, this dog's dead. Like, good, that dog's ugly. Like, and I mean, like, we're pretty messed up. And so my mom's like, I'm going to buy her a new dog. So when the dog dies, I can gift her this beautiful new dog. So Mima, her mother-in-law, breeds these Shih Tzus. They're called that for a reason, because I own one. And it never stops doing that. And so my mom buys this dog, and my dad's enduring this dog. I even have a picture with my dad, like, you know, the dog kissing my dad in the face. And my dad's like, oh, go away. When is her dog gonna die so we can give this dog to her? And so Kim is mad. She's like, what is wrong with all of you? You guys call yourself Christians? I mean, she shamed us like the devil, and she was like, God is coming through. He told me my dog is going to live and not die. Every day I'm laying hands on little pup, and he's getting stronger and stronger. You know what? That dog is still alive. That dog is still alive. She had a gift of faith for her dog. And I will tell you, guess who ended up with the other dog? Because my dad didn't want it. And my mom was like, well, this was just for Kim. And so Chloe, on her 13th birthday, my parents came to our house. My dad walked the dog into the house. Chloe's like, oh, so cute. He goes, bye, happy birthday, Chloe, and ran out the front door. And that dog is still in my house. And my mother named that dog. I didn't even get to name it. And her name is Lucy. And we do love her, but she's a pain in the butt. And she likes poop everywhere. And so I ended up reaping that, not her. Kim's faith was a gift of faith. I remember she was just so confident about it. She was just like, guys, stop. Like, God's coming through. What is wrong with you guys? What is that faith that you need in your life? That confident faith that for that moment that you may not have it right now, but when something happens, something in you is like, no, no. And I've had it several times. I've had it for this church. I've had it for my children. I've watched God show up with a gift of faith at the right moment, at the right time, and I can walk in it. And it's such a grace. It's a beautiful grace of faith. You just walk it out, and you're like, no, God's got my back. I don't know. Maybe everything around me is falling apart, but I'm good because I know he's got it. And you see, that's what God wants us to walk in. There's so many. Because of time's sake, I'm going to stop. I have another example. I have so much biblical reference on this. So if you want all that, I can get that to you later. Next one, gifts of healing. I love this one because it's not gift of healing. It's plural, gifts of healing. Why gifts? Because healing is not all the same thing. What you're dealing with is not what I'm dealing with. But yet God knows how to heal all the individual things separate from itself. So they're gifts of healing. I can look around this room and I see God's hand on all of you guys. Pammy overcame cancer. Praise God. And I know God used her and her faith to be healed, and she is restored. She's here today. She shouldn't be here today. Barbara was told she wouldn't be here today. Barbara fought cancer and overcame it. Why? Because of word of God. Because of power of God. You see, God loves to heal. It's God's plan. It's God's heart. It did not leave with the last apostle. What happens in some of these denominations is they don't understand why sometimes we do pray for healing and we don't see people healed. But who are we to say they're not healed? Because just because they didn't get healed on this earth the way we thought that it should be done does not mean that God is not at work. Because to be here is just a passing through, but to be in heaven is a complete restoration and full healing. And so we've got to think about things differently, guys. You got to think about this as they are no longer suffering if they got healed in heaven. My dad did not see his full healing while he was here on this earth. But boy, the day he passed, the first thing I said to my mom was, well, that man ain't gipping around heaven for sure. Like, he is walking, he is running, he's back to his old baseball self. And he is in good, good hands. Why? Because God is the healer, whether it's here or there. God's only command to us is to pray for healing and to believe him. So when we refuse to, we're not in the will of God. We're not partnering with God in faith. But when you partner with God in faith, God can meet you there and he can answer your prayers. I have seen healing after healing after healing. I have seen God do some miraculous things. I've heard of reports of God's healing. I have seen God's healing at work in my life, and he is faithful. I told you about my son, Micah. He does not have Tourette syndrome. He may sometimes have a bad attitude, but he does not have Tourette syndrome. So healing is a supernatural gift of a divine healing. It's supernatural healing without a natural means, okay? This gift has nothing to do with natural healing or medicine. It's actually God touching it. Now, does God use medicine at times? Absolutely. God can give you a plan, and he says, walk through this plan. But then what he's talking about in these verses is actually that supernatural manifested healing in that moment. Okay, so there's a difference. God can heal you through the plan, and that's his plan to go through the medical doctors and do it that way. There's also where we lay hands on the sick and they recover, and instantly they are healed. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, gifts of healing. God wants to use you in that area. Did you know that? So 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, for by faith, the same spirit, another gift of healing in the same spirit. Gifts of healing are those healings that God performs supernaturally by the Spirit of God. The plural suggests that there are many sicknesses and diseases, right? But this gift is related to many healings and many disorders. Jesus was one to show us how this works here on earth, and he operated in gifts of healing everywhere he went. Acts 10:38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power. Then Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You say, well, wait, were they just demon-possessed? No. Did you know that Satan actually put sickness on you? It's called a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of sickness. And this spirit of infirmity can be cast off, can be removed off of people's minds, bodies, souls, wills, and emotions. And God wants to deliver people from those things. Sometimes a spirit of infirmity can be on you because you're in unforgiveness. You've now opened yourself up because you're in unforgiveness to sickness, and Satan will come in and he will bring sickness into your life because you are in a position that is not righteous before God. In order for us to be right standing with God, we have to be in unforgiveness with God and towards man. You go, whoa, Pastor, you just got into my business. I don't like that. But if we want to see God move, and sometimes we don't know why some things happen, maybe we need to look at what we're doing with Christ. See, you gotta do things God's way in order to get God results. You can't do things your way. You can't call things blessed that God calls cursed. You can't walk and operate in ungodly patterns and passions and ways of life and expect God's anointing and power to follow that. There has to be a position of humility, repentance, understanding, and change. There has to be a change. And so, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but that's for somebody out there. Okay, so that was not my notes. Jesus walked the earth as the Son of God and a prophet. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this. This is why him coming to earth was such a sacrifice and a beautiful exchange for us and a beautiful gift to us, that we now get to operate in this Holy Spirit. We get to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God wants to use you in gifts of healing. And Acts 3:6-8, go with me there. I love this. There was a lame man and he was asking Peter for healing. So here's an example in the Bible of not Jesus healing, but Peter healing, okay? But Peter said, I do not have any silver or gold, when this lame man asked him for money. But I will give you what I have. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then Peter took this lame man by the right hand and he helped him up as he did. And the man's feet and ankles that were instantly healed and they were strengthened. He jumped up, he stood, and he began to walk. And then he was walking and leaping and he was praising God. And he went into the temple with him. You see, God does not want to see humanity bound. God does not want to see us tainted and twisted and broken and defeated. God's power is for all. When I watched that girl on that TV that was claiming everything that was happening to her as her own, I was like, no, you've never been taught that you can be free of these things. And so there's so much. It's a beautiful gift of healing that God has for us. There was a time when one of my kids was very, very, very sick. So sick, I want to say they were about 2 years old. And I was a really young mom, and I didn't know what was happening. And they were so, so sick that their fingernails fell off. Yeah, that was kind of weird. And in the middle of the night, I was woken up out of bed, and I remember hearing the Holy Spirit say, go in the room now. Like, it was like an urgency on me. So it was a word of knowledge. And I ran in the room, and then there was a discerning of spirit. The Lord said, I want you to pray against meningitis right now. I didn't even know what meningitis was. I was this young mom that didn't know. And I was like, what? And so my kid's neck, they could not move. They could not move their neck. And I didn't know that that was the first sign of meningitis, but now I know. And so I began to pray. I'm in this dark room by myself, believing God, tears rolling down my face. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of meningitis, you come off my son right now. I command you to go. In that moment, you guys, the fever broke. He instantly was able to move his neck. And God began to heal his body. He was playing the next day outside with his siblings. You see, God is real. And in that moment, that was a spirit of knowledge, a spirit of discerning of spirits. And then I had to take authority over it, and I had to get out there with my faith. And there was a gift of faith on me. There were a lot of gifts at operation in that moment. But guess what? God had his perfect work in my kid's life. If God did it for me, he's going to do it for you. There's nothing that you cannot ask God for. God says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, for I have given you peace. So maybe you have been scrutinized by health. Maybe you're overwhelmed by it. But what if it was that you were to reflect and look at yourself and say, God, show me if there's sin in my life. Remove that from yourself and then ask God for healing over yourself. Ask God for healing over your family members. Ask God to deliver people. You see, church, we have to stand before God righteous, and then these gifts are in operation afterwards. God wants us to be healed, and he wants to use you with gifts of healing towards you and others. Number three, you guys okay? The gift of working of miracles. Working of miracles is still happening today. It is a divine intervention that alters circumstances. You would love to have these expressed in your life, wouldn't you? How many of you want the power of God working in your life? Just some of you? Everybody in this room better. Otherwise, go to the church down the street. Because I want a church that's like, yes, I need the power of God working in my life. Well, the good news is he's going to. Notice there's also, this is also plural. It's the gift of miracles. God doesn't want to just do one thing through you. He wants to do many things through you. God wants to touch your life. God wants to bless you. This is because God takes care of humanity. He takes care of his people. This is why he knew he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit would come. You see, the working of miracles is a manifestation of power beyond the ordinary course of a natural law. It is a divine enablement to do something that could not be done naturally. So let's discover this a bit. Gifts of healing are said to be miracles, but they are actually, no, they are gifts of healing. But water into wine is a great example of a miracle. Okay, so gifts of healing is healing in the body, but a miracle is like Jesus turning the water into wine. Let's read about this. Go with me to John 2. John 2, 1 through 11, it says, the next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Canaan in Galilee. Jesus's mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus's mother told him, they have no more wine. I love how he responds to his mom. He's such a guy. Dear woman, that's not my problem. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. But his mother told his servants, do whatever he tells you. So she just like moved right past him like he's going to do this. It's so like a mom, right? Like my boys like complain about doing dishes. And I'm like, too bad. Keep going. Like you will not sleep tonight until they're done. Like you need to put away your food that I made you. And so verse 6, he says, standing nearby were 6 stones with water jars used for the Jewish ceremonial washing. So they would wash themselves with this water. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water, that it was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. Verse 10, a host always serves the best wine first, he said. And then when everyone is has a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. Pretty smart. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign of Canaan in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. The first time. This was the first miracle. That is a miracle. This was an unnatural thing into a natural thing. God is still doing that today. There's a story, and I want to tell you guys a story. Her name is Komput. She's of Thailand. She's 19 years old. She escaped a rogue rule in Cambodia. They were going to kill her and a whole bunch of the other young people there. They had to escape these treacherous people, but in order to do this, they had to journey through miles of jungles, canals, mountains, and rivers. Most of them did not have shoes. They were barefoot. Some of them had very thin flip-flops on. And so they had to go through these communist soldiers, and then they had to go through jungle, and they had to go through it all. And then they came to nighttime, and their feet were cut up, and they were hungry, and they were tired, and they were broken. And here she was, thinking, we're going to die. It's so dark where she was. She said that they could not see in front of them. And yet, look what God did. As they crossed the valley between the two high mountain ranges, we could see absolutely nothing, she said. But we didn't even know where to step. Suddenly, hundreds of fireflies swarmed into view. Their glow made light for the people to see the path. All the refugees reached the next mountain by firefly light. Miss Stewart of April issues in the Commission's magazine. After Payette was transferred to a refugee camp, she was invited into a Christian meeting. She saw a picture on the wall, and she said, I know that man. She exclaimed, that picture on the wall, he's the one that led us by the light and showed us the way to our freedom when we were running from those that were going to kill us. Man, oh man, is that a miracle or what? See, God shows up in the most unique ways, in the most unique places, at the right exact time. Just have faith. Trust that God wants to use you. He's going to do miracles, signs, and wonders in these end times, but he needs us as a church to link up with him, to believe him for it, and to call it out. My daughter sent me a text message, and she was so excited, and it was a text message between her and her team. She's over hundreds of kids at her college, and they have she's a chaplain over the college, and so she was talking about how they have been teaching new believers, so many new believers in the college, and so they've started these small groups, and like all the sports teams, these big guys, you know, are like loving just having this encounter with Christ. And so she's like, Mom, the coolest thing is happening, and they're happy. We're just seeing miracles in every single one of our small groups. She goes, let me give you an example. And so this was the text message that went out to all of her excavate team, and it says, hey guys, I wanted to share a praise report. I had a girl from my small group on Monday ask for prayer for her family's business because the payroll couldn't be completed because there wasn't enough in the business. I said a quick prayer to close up the group, and I mentioned this request, and she said the very next day, her mom got the exact amount of money that she needed to pay all of the employees, and it was sent through the mail. Praise God, look what God can do. That was a miracle. God shows up at the last minute and he makes sure that he's covered us. You see, church, when you serve God, it works. When you do things God's way, it works. You receive miracles, signs and wonders, healings and gifts. What does God want to do in your life? How does God want to use you in your world and with your neighbors and in your sphere of atmosphere? What does God need you to start believing him for instead of complaining about? We've got to get ourselves back in faith. Ephesians 3:20, I love in the Passion Version, it says this. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Ooh, I love that. Your most unbelievable dream and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power consistently energizes you. Church, let's get going. We have all we need in the gifts of the Spirit, in the grace gifts that God has bestowed upon us. 1 Corinthians 12, a spiritual gift is given to each one so that he can help each other. The one person of the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice to another. The same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Same Spirit gives a great faith to another. And someone else's Spirit gives the gift of healings. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether this message is from the Spirit of God or from a different spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak with unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and the only one Spirit who distributes all of these gifts, and he alone decides what each gift should be given to each person. Today, God wants to use you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.